Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to read beginning verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 4. And it's Old Testament, but it's still very good for us tonight. Verse 5, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whether we go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great?" Well, this is powerful. "Who hath God so nigh to them as the Lord our God is in all things that we can, that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Lord, I pray that you'd help me deliver the message tonight. And I hope that you pray that you'll help me give just some very common and simple truth that we would take this challenge, or these challenges. In thy name I pray, amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Israel is being challenged to be obedient to God. Notice back in verse 1 of chapter 4, the Bible says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live." There's life in these judgments. There's life in these statutes. He says, "For you to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." So he's saying that God has given us statutes. God has given us judgments. And he says that if we walk within the boundary lines of those statutes and judgments, we shall live. I think I would phrase it more like this. We will live in victory. The Bible's full of principles. And we need to walk in the way of the Word. Now, it isn't interesting. I think it shows the nature of people. In verse 2, he says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you." It's God's word. It's God's plan. And we're not to be adding to it. And then he says that neither shall you diminish aught from it. We're not to look at it and we're not to adjust what God says. God says what he means. He means what he says. And if we want to live, if we want to have victory, we need to walk in obedience to what he has commanded to us. Now, a man only walks in the amount of light he possesses. And there are those who have been saved for a short while, and they're walking in a limited amount of light, but they do have light. They have been saved, and they do have light. And I want you to think back for just a moment when you were first saved and when God was teaching you, and, you learned the importance of church membership. You learned the importance of baptism and the Lord's Supper. You learned the importance of giving tithes and offerings. You learned the importance of praise and worship. You learned the importance of faithfulness and commitment. This is the part of sanctification after we are justified that we begin to grow in. But if we've been saved for any amount of time at all, if we've been saved for a period of time, we ought to be way down the road in these areas. There are those who believe that they can diminish what God says. they can take God's word and they can twist it or they can bend it to fit more their lifestyle or what they would like to do. And I'll tell you this. No. You'll be a casualty. You'll be a casualty. I've seen people when I try to give, and I'll do it again. And, you know, it's not a problem while your kids are juniors. It's not a problem while your kids are primaries. But when your kids become teenagers and they want to do their recreational dating, I want to tell you, I preach against that. You know, dating is for a process. It's we refer to call it courting, courtship. It's a process for marriage. And there's no reason for all teenage dating leads to eventually is fornicating. That's all it leads to. And I've had people storm out of this church over the years. I've had husbands and men pound my desk because I was not for their dog. I was trying to, you know, the shepherd's trying to protect the sheep in this. And by the way, those who have balked and those who have peeled their tires out of the parking lot, they're the ones with divorced kids. They're the ones with heartache. They're the ones because they didn't listen. The Bible says we cannot take His statutes and His judgments and twist them and be okay. He says that if we keep these, that we will have life. We'll walk in victory. Now, verses 5 through 9, there's four challenges that I want to share with you tonight. And I want to ask you, I want to challenge you about. Notice, if you would, first of all, verse 6. He says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. In other words, when we infiltrate the land, the nations are going to see our wisdom and our understanding, and they're going to acknowledge, in verse 6, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And my first challenge is I challenge you to be dogmatic in your doctrine or in Bible doctrine. Be dogmatic in Bible doctrine. I'm saying don't move, not even a smidgen, on what the Bible says. We got a lot of things coming at us today. And there are those on the internet, I'm not going to mention them, I don't want to even say their names, I don't want to cause curiosity for the cat. If I mention the name, you'll go home tonight, you'll Google it, you'll watch YouTube, and I'm not going to give that to you. But there's church replacement theology. And that's being preached, and that's being accepted, that no longer are the Jews God's people, but the church is God's people. Now, if that's so, somebody needs to tell Jesus. Because Jesus is going to come back after the rapture. He's going to come back for the millennial reign, and headquarters is going to be in Jerusalem. But there's this taught teaching, and it's putting down the Jew, and it's not even just putting the Jew down, but it's just preaching against God's people. Listen, they are God's chosen people. And in the tribulation period, 144,000 Jews will be evangelizing during that time. Their eyes are going to be open. It will not happen to the middle of the tribulation period when the beast sets himself up, when the Antichrist sets himself up to be worshipped in the temple. That's when their eyes are going to be open. God's going to put a special mark on 144,000 Jews. They're going to minister. And let me tell you, Jesus is going to come back. And we are going to come with Him. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Don't you move not one bit on your doctrine. Be dogmatic about doctrine. There is Calvinism today. And there's John Piper and Paul Washer and many others. Now, I respect, and there's John MacArthur. If you got a John MacArthur study Bible, throw it away. It's Calvinistic. It's not right. You cannot read this book and come out Calvinist. John Calvin, you know this. You have been taught this. You know this. John Calvin is not preaching Calvinism. He took this theory and theology from Augustine, who wrote this 1,000 years before Calvin, and he stole it from him. He's preaching it, but today, and I have a respect for John Piper because on his webpage he says, I am a 5-point Calvinist. I'm a hyper-Calvinist. At least he doesn't hide behind the cloak on it. But you cannot, listen to me, Calvinism is heresy. And the Calvinist is a heretic. The very concept that God selects some to go to heaven and others to go to hell, that is not the love of God and it's not the God of this Bible. Be dogmatic in your doctrine. We have some challenges. I could go on about this. But we need to be bold in the body of teaching and we need to be strong in sound doctrine. Be sound doctrine in your doctrine considering the blood. We are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who came and who took away the sins of the world. It's not Jesus and baptism, Jesus and church membership, Jesus and do better, Jesus and try harder, Jesus and be more sincere, Jesus and turn over a new leaf. It's Jesus alone, Jesus enough. It's through His divine blood that was shed that we are saved. He is the ultimate sacrifice. Because of Him, we no longer give bullets. Because of Him, we no longer sacrifice turtle doves and oxen. He is the ultimate sacrifice. And be dogmatic about sound doctrine considering the blood. Be dogmatic in sound doctrine considering the book. Now, I want to tell you, the King James Bible, I believe, I know to be so, that God can preserve and has preserved His Word, and His Word is inspired, and I do not believe these modern translations are God's Word. There's good news for men, that's bad news for any man. The Living Bible is not even a version, it's a paraphrase. And, there are those, I don't know people who are, if you're lazy or what, but I want to tell you this, the Holy Spirit, He illuminates the Scripture. And when we can't understand the Scripture, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. God will reveal you that truth, and the these and thous don't trip us up that much. Be dogmatic about your Bible. All these other versions, they diminish the deity of Christ. They leave out passages. When the Bible says a virgin shall conceive and another version says a young woman shall conceive, that's a big difference. You know that, don't you? That's the deity of Christ, of His birth. A lot of young women conceive, but only one time has a virgin conceived. I could go on and on about that, but be dogmatic. We have got to be dogmatic in doctrine about the blood, about the book, and let me say about the blessed hope. He's coming again. Now, there are those who are pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib, and if you know your Bible, if you know your eschatology, you would be pre-trib. But I'm not going to break fellowship. If you want to go midways through the tribulation, that's on you. I'm not going to do that, but if you want to do that. If you think that we're going to go through the tribulation, you're post-trib, you're going to be lonesome. I'm not going to be here. I've often said that when the rapture happens, I'm going to leave the building here and the mortgages to the devil, to the crowd, and to the deacons and everything. And I'm just teasing about that part. And they know that. Be dogmatic about some things. He tells us in verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Be dogmatic in doctrine. Secondly, demonstrate holiness. We've lost the fear of God and holiness in this country. You know, I'm 65, almost 66. And I would say some things in my early years, in my 20s and in my 30s and even in my early 40s, if it was a shocking thing, I didn't care. But I've grown more modest since then, I think. But demonstrate holiness. You know, I don't think any man or woman should wear shorts, especially if it says something delicious on the back of them. What a shame that is. No fear. No modesty. You know, no virtue in that. And we live today where vulgarity is applauded. Can I tell you, listen, you shouldn't get tattoos. Someone says that a tattoo is permanent evidence of temporary insanity. My dad was lost, and my dad was a Marine, and I always admired his tattoos. He had here on his forehead, big forearms. He's a much stronger man than me, but he pulled these wrenches all of his life. He had these big forearms, and he had a Marine Corps emblem here and here, and he had like these leaves coming up around it. And then he had what we called a hoochie-coochie girls on his biceps, and they were wearing bathing suits. They were full bathing suits. I guess the ink guy got more money if he used more ink. I don't know. But when I was a kid, I remember him flexing his biceps and his triceps, and she'd swivel her hips and everything. And I love to know what some people are saying and thinking. But I want to tell you, it's not a cultural thing. The Bible speaks about cutting of the skin, cutting of the flesh. And we shouldn't do that. I've often said it's upset some women. But that cute little butterfly on your shoulder blade is going to turn into a dragon when you get to be 80. Not going to be so pretty. It's going to be hard to explain to your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Well, back in the 80s, I got that. Most people get a tattoo. Most of them, they got it when they were drunk and some friends stuck them over. Am I telling the truth on that for the most part? It wasn't something like, let's see, I'm going to go get groceries, I'm going to go to the dentist, I'm going to get a haircut, and I'm getting a tattoo. It's not like that. But listen, display or rather demonstrate holiness. Be holy. He tells us, be ye holy for I am holy. He wouldn't instruct us to be something that we could not be. You know, explain your purposes or your lifestyle by your example. You know, read your Bible. Demonstrate holiness. Be a person of this book. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Victory comes from being in God's Word. Read your Bible. You can't get enough preaching on Sunday. You can't get enough broadcasts at noon to compensate for it. You've got to have your quiet time with God. Read your Bible. If you're not in the book, you're not going to live in victory. Be a person of prayer. I don't know anybody that I think would say I have an adequate prayer life. I think the prayer life is always something that can be enhanced and improved on. But spend time in prayer. I'm grateful. Just to drive from my house to the office or to go run an errand. To just talk to the Lord. I'm in the car by myself. I don't know what other people are thinking. They probably think I'm on my phone today. But I can just talk to the Lord. You're out there, you're cutting the back 40 with the John Deere, you're talking to the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to sense His presence and know that He's there? But spend time with God in His Word. Spend time with God in prayer. And then make sure that you have a service. Make sure that you demonstrate holiness and you tithe your time. There's something you give to God. I challenge you, be dogmatic in doctrine. Demonstrate your holiness. And then thirdly, notice verse 9, develop family unity. He says verse 9, the latter part says, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Develop family unity. Now, this is something that's on my heart tonight. And I want to tell, Molly, I want to tell you something. John and Ella and Jameson Bear, I want to tell you this. Alan, I'm talking to you tonight. You kids over here, Sammy, you kids over here. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to you for sure. And Sammy, I'm talking to you too. And Lucy May, listen to what I'm saying. There's going to come a time where the devil will try to destroy your family unity, the harmony in your home. Karen, talking to you. Isaac, absolutely. Charles, I see you. Quit hiding behind the pew back there. One rebellious teenager can destroy all the tranquility and harmony in the home. And it's up to all of us to love one another and to forgive one another. I take it even farther out of the immediate home. But I want to tell you, all your grandparents want is to be part of your life and to pass down some truths that we have. It's not our responsibility to discipline you. I'm not going to give you character lesson plans. That's your parents' job. You've got a dad. You've got a father, mother that is there for that. You've got parents for that. But I want to tell you grandparents something. I have some fireside chats with my grandkids once in a while. And I encourage them. And I want to know, what are you thinking and what are you planning on doing? When Joy Bell was just a little bitty thing, I think she was probably 4, maybe that old. But she stood up and gave a testimony in church one night. And she said, I just want to thank God that these lips have never touched a drop of liquor. She's 4 years old. Until that last Lord's Supper, I think, you know. When we pulled that thing off. That's when we went back to the other stuff. Wasn't that good grape juice last time? That last time we had that COVID Kool-Aid, I pulled that off. I took it out. Smooth. She stood up and she said, I just want to praise God that these lips have never touched a drop of liquor. My heart beamed inside. And then she said, I want everybody to know that God has called me to be a missionary to the Philistine Islands. Now, she had some things confused. She was right on the liquor. And she wasn't far off from the islands. But you know what we do? We wait till our kids get to be ninth graders to start dealing with them. And I'm not going to take a role. I did my part. I'm going to tell you this. There's going to come a day when Pastor Savage is going to step down and never be a pastor here anymore. That time's going to come. If the Lord tarries, I keep telling Debbie, if we can skip ICU and go to ICJ, I see Jesus, that would be great. But I want you to know, I did my parenting. I don't want to do it again. And I don't know if any of my kids would welcome my genius in my parenting. I want to be a part. I got some good things. And I'm not just your grandparent. I'm not just your papa, but I'm your pastor too. And when I step down from being pastor, I'm not going to try to pastor this church after I step down. I will step down and I will be done. And if the new pastor wants any of my insider wisdom, I'd be happy to share. But unsolicited advice is a form of criticism. Develop family unity. Bring to maturity the completeness of family. Guard your family. Now listen, I'm not saying blood's thicker than water. I'm not saying that your family stick with them when they're right or when they're wrong. They need to be rebuked. They need to be corrected when they're not right. But it's not my job to do that. It's your job to do that, and you better do it well. Teach God's statutes. Teach God's judgments. Give your kids the principles of what we do and give them the understanding behind why we do that. It's not because the preacher says so, the preacher says preaches that, or the church believes that. You better be able to show your kid from the Bible. And then lastly, determine discipline. And be a disciple. Be a disciple. Notice in verse 9, he says in verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, or diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart. You see, we need to remember that we are the children of God, and we need to determine to be a disciplined disciple. Let God's Word move us. This week, I was reading, and I was listening to some music. Actually, I was having devotions, and I was reading some of the devotions, and I thought of a song, and I went over there, and I asked James to sing it this morning. He sang that this morning. It blessed my heart. And did a good job on it. But if he got up and just halfway could do it, it would still bless my heart. But he did a beautiful job on it. And I just need to know the Lord is standing by me. And I want to be disciplined, and I want to be His disciple. Understand this. Nothing's more important than when we stand before Him one day. That old hymn, "I wish I had given Him more." I think we all may be there. Are you trying to twist it? Are you trying to bend the statutes or the judgments? Do you think that you're the exception? You're not. And you can see in the life of during the taking of the promised land, Achan and others who thought they'd be the exception, but they weren't. And I just want to challenge you to be dogmatic in doctrine. We teach and we believe the right thing. We don't need to look at it at a different angle. We need to demonstrate holiness. Walk in the boundary lines of these statutes and judgments and principles, and we shall have life. We shall walk in victory. Develop family unity. I want to tell you kids something. If the devil, look this way, if the devil has his way, he'll have you curse your father and mother one day. He'll have you scream profanities at them one day if the devil has his way. And all they will have done is stood for Christ and demanded for you to do the same. Develop family unity and then determine to be a disciplined disciple. Paul said that he takes his body, I can't use it, imagine, I just can't think of the perfect word that he said, but that he didn't want to become a castaway. And we need to finish strong. Now, the devil will tell you because something hasn't turned out, because there's been failure, or there's been some disappointment, that you should just quit and throw the towel in. But I'm telling you, that's the devil. That's not true. That's not God. God takes the ashes, and by the strength and the power, the authority of God, He raises you up out of the ashes to do great things for Him. Four challenges. I hope that you'll meet them. To please the Lord and for the safety of the home, we better. Would you stand with me? Lord, I pray that we would be dogmatic in our doctrine. A lot of folks that are out there teaching, and there's a lot of things people can go to. They not just go to the Christian bookstore, but now there's podcasts, and there's YouTube, and there's Facebook, and there's all types of different avenues. But Lord, we need to be dogmatic, even when it's not popular. Even when we face rejection, as You were a man of rejection and grief and sorrow. Lord, help us to determine to walk in holiness, to not twist or bend the statutes and the judgments and the principles. God, help us when it comes to our family, that we develop unity and that children obey their parents in the Lord, and they honor their mother and father, which is right. And dear God, that you help us to rear godly seed, godly children in this perverse and corrupt generation. And Lord, help us to rein in ourselves in discipline and discipleship, that we make our life count for You. Help us to take inventory tonight. Help us to take inventory of our families, of our church, of our service. Help us to make peace. And Lord, when we're disappointed, help us to get over it, and may love triumph. Bless the invitation tonight. Help us to meet these four challenges, that the people, the nations, and the land would say that we are a great, understanding, and wise people. In Thy name I pray. God's spoken to you tonight. Find your place here at the altar.